Well, thanks for your attendance, and may God use these things to further encourage us in the things of God in these last days. Now, we promised you a short question and answer and comment session, so this is your time. And I was told if you drag it, we end it. So, okay. Yes, brother in the back. Mm-hmm. Brother Houston, right?
Yes, thank you.
Our brother has asked us a distinction between offering and sacrifice. I do have a short thing to say on that. I have a feeling, brother, that you might have a good thought, do you, on that? Okay. A sacrifice of
free. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, maybe I think they're the same, but the aspect of understanding is different in the two words. Sacrifice is what it is. It's given up. Offering is where it goes. It goes up. Offer to God, 1 Peter 2:5, that you may offer to God spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So the sacrifice is what it is. It's a giving up. And an offering is where it's going to God. I think it's the same thing, but a different aspect. I saw Brother building on his head. Do you have thoughts on that, brother?
I'm disagreeing.
Okay, good. I like that, brother. Anybody else on that? I think there's a distinction not in what it is, but in what constitutes what happens with it. Because you can give a sacrifice to a pagan deity, and that's not an offering to God. Yeah, Brother Lee. That's right, nor his authority. I know how you meant it, but we can name the name like a parrot, but to accept his authority is a... Amen, brother. You don't mind me getting on a soapbox here, non-brother and brother? We're all... Yeah, brother. I know what you mean, though, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you. The words are easy. Yeah, we named the name of Christ. We got it in the name of Christ. But it's really owning his authority. And that's what the Corinthian church, some said I was of Christ, but they weren't owning his lordship of authority. He didn't say I beseech you by Christ. I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, brother. Anybody else?
Were you able to just name the other, unless I'm this one, you get nine?
Yeah, I didn't give them to you. I can name them for you and give you the references, okay? Let me do that for you, and you can do that on your study. One I skipped, it's in chapter 14, verses 23 through 25, and it will be a place of instruction in the fear of God, a place of instruction in the fear of God, verses 23 through 25. Deuteronomy 14, verses 23 through 25. Then I gave you the place of remembrance, chapter 16, 1 through 8. And then also in chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, it'll be a place of giving and a place of obedience to his ordinances or statutes called here. A place of giving and a place of obedience to his statutes or ordinances. Is it one or two? It depends how you preach it, brother. If we did it that way, it would be two. I count it as one in the nine. Yeah. Okay. Because it's in the same passage. That's chapter 16. I guess you could verses 9 through 15. And then the next one is in chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. Chapter 17, verses 8 through 13, there'll be a place of judging matters. And it will answer to Matthew 18, as well as 1 Corinthians 5. You know, if a person doesn't listen to the individual witnesses, you're to tell it unto the church, the place of judging matters. And here it is here, a place of judging matters. And this is why we say these other organizations, they cannot usurp this. What happens at the place. Because God has already designed a place for these things. A place of judging matters. And then the other one is chapter 18, verses 6 through 8. Chapter 18, verses 6 through 8, it's a place of ministry. The Levites were to come and minister or serve. It is the place where the ministry God has given you that you express it. Not to say there's not an outward flow, but it's a place of ministry. Chapter 18, verses 6 through 8. And then the next one is in chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. I think the last time I was at Terre Haute, I preached a whole message on this one. I never got to it here. But it's a place of worship. A place of worship. And it's just tremendous truths in chapter 26. Verse 10 says, And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. Huh? It's a place of worship. And then the last one that I have, you might find others, is way at the end here in chapter 31. Chapter 31, verses 9 through 13. It's a place of reading and proclaiming the Word of God. A place of reading and proclaiming the Word of God. These are the character and the calling of the place, the church, at least in its assembly capacity. A gathering would have been chapter 12. The opening verses, you could actually go 1 through 7 there, Barry, if you wanted to. Chapter 12, 1 through 7. Then separation, brother, would actually start in chapter 12 and verses 10 through 14. Verses 10 through 14. And as you study, you might see other aspects and could actually name a couple of other things there. But there is a place where there's this activity under his authority and presence that God accepts as a unit, as a congregation, as an assembly. Anybody else? Brother, Don. Uh-huh. I've been there.
You weren't in one place. So
I've been there.
John 4, where the woman says to the Lord Jesus, my father's worship here, and you say, in Jerusalem.
That's right, in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen, brother. As we've been saying, all truths like reception can be abused one way or the other. And I have experienced what you have experienced, where those will say that they're the only place, they're the only assembly or whatever, and that's an abuse of such. That gives us liberty, and yet that's not a carte blanche. It says in spirit and in truth. So it's just not anywhere, any way, but it has to be in truth. And then that place is defined for you as those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord in the epistles. Now, where we own his lordship and authority, that doesn't mean we're always going to see it all or obey it all. But it's the basis of our gathering, and that's why Paul had a basis to correct this assembly, because they had owned that name, but they had got off center, and he was bringing them back to the name they had originally owned. So I've experienced what you've experienced, and I say amen to that. The only caution I would add, and you're not saying it, brother, is it's not a carte blanche to do it anyway. It's in spirit and in truth. And the epistles will teach that it's not one place, it's every place that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And because of what you said, the seven churches of Asia, I don't know if we'd call them all assemblies today, but you look at them. He was still in the midst of them, correcting them. And there's many things that can go wrong in an assembly, but he calls them back to the risen Lord's authority there, and that's what we need to do today. Amen. Yeah, just not to say, well, they're not an assembly. We've got to be very careful in saying that. But we can say what they're doing doesn't match Scripture, and we need to come back to the authority of the Lord. That we can say. Okay? Anyone else? Okay, brother. It's not lagging yet, brother. It's still going on.
Dealing with the priesthood, what is it to minister to the Lord? Or minister to me in the
Ezekiel 44? Yes. Our brother referred the subject of priesthood to Ezekiel 44, where you'll find those who minister to the people in the outer court and those who came into the inner court to minister unto the Lord. And his question was, what does it mean to minister unto the Lord? Well, I think you can help understand it by contrasting it with what it means to minister unto the people. In the outer court is where they take the sacrifices, in many cases for forgiveness of sins, to meet the people's need of having their guilt put away and their sin covered. And so it was meeting a need of the people. But when that high priest would go into the altar of incense, huh, and offer up that sacrifice, nobody smelled that but God, other than the high priest being there, which is a picture of Christ. And so it was being offered for the delight of God. Nobody could see the holiest of holies. The people couldn't. But that blood was put on the altar would satisfy God. So I believe ministering to the heart of God is not meeting the needs of people, but giving to God what pleases him. When we offer up the Lord Jesus at the Lord's Supper, you're really not ministering to people. Now, people that love the Lord will benefit. But you're giving what delights God. I believe it means offering to God, giving to God, in contrast to meeting the person's need, which is a legitimate ministry, but it's not worship. Does that make a little sense for you? Okay, they minister to God, and notice it's where it happened, in the inner court, in contrast to ministering to the people in the outer court in Ezekiel 44. The outer court meant the needs of the people as well. The inner court was solely for God and God alone. And both are necessary. Amen. Well, okay, brother. thank you very much in the Lord Jesus Christ for your kindness and being with you. I hope you're not jealous that I was allowed to bring my wife, but we were on the way to Florida, so that's why she was here. It's been good to be with you, and I guess somebody will close in prayer, brother. Okay. Okay. Our Father in heaven, we stand before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee as the only name under heaven that saves. And we're saved. We thank Thee for every man here that's saved by faith in that name, that he is Lord, the one who became obedient even to the death of the cross. Thank Thee for His precious blood that has cleansed us from all sin. We thank Thee for this one who suffered so that He might bring us to Thee. We'd also thank Thee that it's a name for presence and authority. It's a name that we can rest in His wisdom and Word, and we can be sure that His ways are best, for they're of Thee. And so, Lord, again, we pray for the men represented here, in our individual lives, in our family, but then in the place where Thou hast placed the name, that You will give them wisdom, that we'll know how to point to the authority of the Lord, first in our own lives and then in teaching, and then recognize the channels Thou hast designed through the elders, and not just railroads, but again through the Word. There'll be an open mind, in that sense, an appetite to the same judgment in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for the assemblies, the West Virginia, the Kentucky, the Ohio area, and others here, that we see truths being lost to the younger generation. And may we have men who know how to stand on these truths, believe them, know how to deliver them in what way of grace and truth. And we've seen some young people catch the vision again of the lampstand that shines on Christ. And we pray that for a movement in this direction, even here, a greater movement, the place where Thou hast placed my name. May we not neglect the other things, the family and the land and things like this. But may we see the apex of the thing is the house of God, as Josiah matured in that and turned his heart toward Thee and Thy house. And so we pray that the men here will be enlightened, and they'll see the value of the name and of the place, and take the steps that would please Thee. Only Thy wisdom and grace can accomplish this. So we commit the West Virginia area and the surrounding states that there'll be little lampstands here that do indeed point to our Lord Jesus Christ and pleases Him, as He told the church at Philadelphia, "Thou hast not denied my name and hast kept my word." Father, we just commit this and ask for Thy mercy's journeys as we travel now in the hands of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.